This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Coward. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at scifinoise.com as part of the Deliberate Noise Network. For more details, please go to deliberatenoise.com. Okay, this is going to be a fairly quick episode because I am currently waiting for my ride to work. And there's really only one thing I want to talk about, but I don't have a whole lot of detail on it. Just what I've gathered from Facebook and Twitter. It looks like they're going to be making a new Alien movie. And some of my friends were saying that this is a good thing. I'm always of the belief that a new Alien movie is a good thing, because then again, I did not hate Alien 3 or Alien Resurrection. I didn't hate either one. I just really enjoyed the first two movies, you know. And quite frankly, you know, the first one was just a straight up horror film in a different type of setting. The second one was an action adventure horror film. And then the third one was a prison break film. I like prison break films. And the fourth one, that seemed like a cash in. But you know, as much as it as almost universally reviled as it was, I did not think it was all that bad. You know, I'm not gonna say it was a great movie, but I wouldn't say it's horrible. Maybe I need to rewatch them. I have the Alien quadrilogy, which I just don't know why they don't call it just the Alien series or the Alien franchise. You know. But I have it on DVD, so I should watch them again. Start watching extra things. So who knows? I might be back soon. Anyway, they're coming out with a new one. And apparently, it's not going to be a sequel to Number 5 or, you know, Aliens versus Predator. But or Prometheus or whatever the next Prometheus story is going to be. But it's actually going to be a sequel to Aliens, the second movie. Because if you haven't seen these movies, I'm about to spoil the shit out of it. But at the end of Aliens, Ripley gets the little girl Newt, puts her in one of the sleeping pods, and a very wounded Hicks and puts him in another one, and then programs the thing to go to Earth, right? Alien 3 starts off with it crashing and Hicks and Newt died on the way. Okay. And then she ends up on this, this prison planet, aliens. She rescues everything. You know, that's the ending of that story. Well, anyway. A friend of mine posted that, you know, this is a good thing. Maybe they can use it as a, you know, an alternate reality, like they did with the Terminator movies. Which, by the way, I saw Terminator Genesis. I'll talk about that on a different episode. But I actually liked the movie, so there you go. Then again, out of all of the Terminator franchise, there's only one I didn't like, and that was the Rise of the Machines, Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines. I had problems with that. But anyway, I'll talk about Terminator later, because we all know I love Terminator. But anyway, so he was thinking, you know, they could do a whole thing like that, or like the Superman movies, because most people don't realize, but what, Superman Returns was actually a sequel to Superman 2. They were just going to ignore Superman 3, Superman 4, Quest for Peace. And so he was thinking that they should do the same thing with Aliens, just, you know, ignore it. But I don't like doing things like that. And I know this is sort of a cop-out, but they could either do one of two things, right? I was thinking either number one, the third, fourth, and fifth movies, because I'm including Alien. Ah, no, she wasn't in Alien versus Predator, so never mind. So the second and third movie, why do I keep saying second, third? All right, the third and fourth movie could be a nightmare. You know, she wakes up, you know, Newt wakes her up, and then she finds out that there was a glitch in the sleeping pods, and, you know, even though it took them however many years it takes them to get from where they were back to Earth, they actually aged for part of that. You know, they weren't in complete suspension, but, you know, they aged rather slowly. So that's why they're all older than, you know, they were. It doesn't completely ignore the fact that, you know, Sigourney Weaver and, oh, I can't remember the little girl, Carrie Heim. And, oh, crap. I don't call him Jeff Leahy, but I know that's completely wrong. Michael Biehn. You know, these people have all aged, you know, and it's going to show, especially with Newt. There's absolutely no way you can, you know, dress her up in a skirt and say, hey, yeah, she was there. This is her, you know. So they have to do something like that, right? They have to account for the fact that these people have all aged. And to me, that's the way to do it. It can either be a dream while she was in this malfunctioning thing, or, and this is even better, right? The third and fourth movies weren't a dream, but rather some sort of virtual reality that the corporation put her in when she came back, because the aliens have made it to Earth, okay? And since she's the only one who has survived multiple exposures to these aliens, they wanted to figure out how they can defeat them. And so the best way to do it is to take her, don't tell her that she's in this artificial world, and then have her defeat these aliens for them, right? And that's kind of what they had to do, and that explains the third and fourth. See, I know how to get a better pigeon. That explains the third and fourth movies, keeping them in canon, sort of, and it can move the story along, you know. And then when they finally wake up, they have to wake her up because, I don't know, the aliens have reached her base or something, you know, the base where they were keeping her. And now she has to do it for real, right? And I'm actually kind of looking forward to the fact that this would be the first time that they would have a female action hero of her age, hopefully still out there kicking ass, right? And, you know, she could pick up the big guns and shooting them and putting them down later, like, you know, I'm not as young as I used to be, or some shit like that. And quite frankly, some people might take a look and say, oh yeah, that's kind of sexist, you know, the female action hero has to complain about getting old, right? Dude, you've never seen Lethal Weapon? I think that was like, what, two-thirds of all of Danny Glover's lines in that movie is how he was too old for this shit. But, you know, nobody's complaining yet because they haven't done it. But I'm really looking forward to it. But like I said, I'm a fan of Alien, of the whole Alien franchise. When Dark Horse came out with their first two series of Aliens books, Alien. They didn't have the S. I bought them, especially that first one. The first one was really good. They unfortunately couldn't use Ripley as a character because they couldn't get the visual rights to Sigourney Weaver. So the only time you actually saw Ripley, they had her holding a big gun and a big plume of smoke was obscuring her face. And I think it was like the only time they mentioned her. And then, you know, they went on with the rest of the story without her. And then they came back with a second one. And I think during the second one, I don't know what happened, but I only had like the first two issues of that one. And after that, I didn't get any more because they were just coming at me. It was just like, ooh, you know, it's like, here's another one. It's like, all right, it's a good thing that I didn't try to keep up. I think the only Alien comic books I had after that were Batman versus Aliens. Was there a Superman versus Alien? I don't think so. I know there was a Batman versus Alien, and I got that one. And I want to say that artwork was done by Kevin Nolan or Nolan, or he at least did the covers. I just remember him doing something. And then after that, Dark Horse Presents, which is an anthology book where they have like, what, 8 or 12 page stories for all these different properties that they have licenses to or they own outright. And when they said, hey, yeah, we're bringing back the Alien universe, I jumped on board. You know, let's say Sam Keith did the artwork. But anyway, so yeah, that's me and Alien. Ryan's not here, so I suppose I could talk a little bit more about Terminator Genesis. All right, Terminator Genesis. I went into the movie knowing close to nothing about it. I knew that Emilia Clarke was in it. She was from Game of Thrones, which is a show I don't watch anymore. I watched the first season. I liked the first season. I came back for the second season and realized I had absolutely no idea what the hell was going on, so I stopped. And Matt Smith, who was, of course, you know, the Doctor from Doctor Who. And that was it. I knew absolutely nothing else about the movie. I didn't know anything about any of the characters. I didn't even know that Arnold Schwarzenegger was in the movie until I started watching it, you know. I didn't know that Jason Clarke was in it. If you don't know Jason Clarke, he was in the second Planet of the Apes movie. Yeah, because the first one was Franco, and he was the guy in the second one. He was also in a show called The Chicago Code. It was not sci-fi. It was a Fox show. It was about crime in Chicago. It was an excellent show. It starred the lovely and talented Delroy Lindo, one of my favorite actors. And it was such a good show. Lasted one season, of course, you know. But I didn't know he was in there. I didn't know Jai Courtney was in it. Now, I am not a Jai Courtney fan. He was born, I'm sorry, but he just seems like he was born maybe 30 years too late. Because that guy would have cleaned up playing the Billy Zabka roles from the 80s movies, where he was the the bad guy in all of the 80s teen movies. Because that's just, he just looks like a bad guy, you know? He just looks like somebody who would walk up to somebody in the lunch line and, you know, even though they've been waiting patiently, he'll just like walk in front of them, take their tray and start getting his lunch, you know? I mean, it's just, I don't know, it just seems that way. And I, yes, I am judging a book by its cover, but I've just never been a fan of him. Every time I see him, I'm like, oh, this guy. You know, it's just one of those actors. It's just, I don't know, just for some odd reason, just rubs me the wrong way just from looking at his face. You know, and I'm pretty sure he's a fine human being. His family and friends love him dearly. But anyway, he played Kyle Reese, and Emilia Clarke, of course, played Sarah Connor. But the the story was just so out there, you know, and quite frankly, a lot of people didn't like it because it pretty much what they claimed invalidated the first two movies and the television. Well, the first three movies in television, you know, it pretty much invalidate everything that went ahead of it. Now that I think about it, but I don't see it as that. This is a franchise built around time travel, right? Whenever time traveling to the future, always time traveling to the past, right? And I always hate when people say, well, you can't time travel to the future because it hasn't happened yet. It has happened in a greater future. You know what I mean? It's just, oh, just stupid. Anyway, and I'm not a big fan of time travel anyway. So I don't know why I like Terminator so much. But anyway, let me get to it. So they've already established on the television show that playing around with time, going from one spot to another, can mess up the timeline that we're pretty much that we're watching. Okay. The television show pretty much said that when Sarah Connor jumped a couple of years into the future and found out that she had died of cancer. You know, it's like, okay, how, you know, how did this happen? What's going on here? And that's when they started talking about multiple timelines and all that kind of stuff, which I like. And on a side note, there's this article, one of those list articles, where they were talking about television shows that ended on cliffhangers that would never be resolved, right? And one of them was Terminator Sarah Connor Chronicles, where John Connor goes into the future and they say nobody recognizes him. Well, yeah, that to me, that made sense because John Connor becomes this big leader, right? So this is like the beginning of his story. But anyway, my ride's here, so I'm gonna have to abbreviate this real quick. But anyway, so going to this movie, I'm not knowing anything about it, but I liked it. I will talk about it at length on the next episode, but for right now, my ride is here, so I have to go. I will be back soon with another episode.